You're right. Let's get to the speech. Quote, "The evidence of the Bergoglio problem." That's the title. "The proliferation of declarations and behaviors completely foreign to what is expected of a pope, and indeed in contrast with the faith and morality of which papacy is the guardian, has led many of the faithful and an increasingly large number of bishops to take note of something that has, until this time ago, seemed unheard of. The throne of Peter is occupied by a person who abuses his power, uses it for the opposite purpose to that which our Lord instituted. Some say that Jorge Mario Bergoglio is manifestly heretical in doctrinal questions. Others that he is tyrannical in matters of government. Still others consider his election invalid because of the many anomalies of the resignations of Benedict XVI and the elections who took place subsequent. Those opinions, more or less supported by evidence or the result of speculations that cannot always be shared, nevertheless confirm a reality that is now incontestable. And it is this reality, in my opinion, that constitutes a common starting point in trying to remedy the disconcerting, scandalous presence of a pope who presents himself with ostentatious arrogance as inimicus ecclesiae and who acts and speaks as such. An enemy who, precisely because he occupies the throne of Peter and abuses papal authority, is capable of inflicting a terrible and disastrous blow, such as no external enemy in the entire history of the church has ever been able to cause. The worst persecutors of Christians, the fiercest adherents of the Masonic lodges, and the most unrestrained heresiarchs have never before succeeded in such a short time with such effectiveness in devastating the Lord's vineyard. Scandalizing the faithful, disgusting the ministers, discrediting its authority and authoritativeness before the world, and demolishing the magisterium, faith, morals, liturgy, and discipline. Inimicus ecclesiae, not only with respect to the members of the mystical body, which he despises, ridicules, he never ceases to launch poisonous epithets against it, persecutes and strikes, but also with respect to the head of the mystical body, Jesus Christ, whose authority exercised by Bergoglio no longer in a vicarious way, but would therefore be in necessary and dutiful consistency with the despositum fidei, but rather in a self-referential and tyrannical way. The authority of the Roman pontiff is in fact derived from the supreme authority of Christ, in which it participates, always within the boundaries and scope of the goals which the divine founder has established once and for all, and which no human power can change. The evidence of Bergoglio's alienity to the office he holds is certainly a painful and very serious fact, but becoming aware of this reality is the indispensable premise for remedying an unsustainable and disastrous situation." End quote. Okay. That's the first part of the exegesis. That's the first part of the speech, which was canceled and censored by Michael Matt and the Catholic Identity Conference. The layman who has taken it upon himself to censor an archbishop of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, before I unpack exactly what we heard, Alberto, I must note that there was a bishop physically present at the Catholic Identity Conference in Pittsburgh this past weekend. And that bishop was Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas. A man who has not been traditional his whole life, doesn't claim to be traditional, doesn't fight for tradition, surrounded by snakes, absolute slithering, slimy, liberal snakes in his chancery, whom he does nothing about.
And he still gets invited. By the way, so, oh, hero, blah, blah. Well, if he's so despised by the conciliar church, he still gets invited and attends all the... if you follow the Conference of Texas Bishops or whatever, they're very liberals. And he's there, celebrating. He can celebrate with them, correct.
He's standing there with the Archbishop of San Antonio, what's his name? Gustav, whatever his name is.
Total communist.
Total communists. Standing there side by side with the communists. He's standing there, somehow, gravitationally, I suppose, he's standing there with the fat, obese, disgusting slob creature from Fort Worth, Bishop Olson.
Even with Bishop Daniel Flores from Brownsville, who is part of the Synod on Synodality.
Flores from Brownsville is an interesting character, actually, which we may have to save for another day. But Flores from Brownsville, standing side by side with Strickland from Tyler.
Concelebrating.
Concelebrating the bogus Ordo Mass. I mean, how can we... Is that my Catholic identity, to go to the bogus Ordo Mass and concelebrate? Is that my Catholic identity?
Concelebrate with the Marxist bishops of Texas. Openly, Archbishop Gustavo from San Antonio, he doesn't hide it. He's on Twitter. You can go find him and judge for yourself.
Gustavo in San Antonio is literally a Marxist. He hates tradition. He has suppressed it to the best of his ability. He kicked out the one Latin mass that was allowed to exist in his archdiocese. Okay, so what Archbishop Vigano is saying is that it sounds to me that he's like, look, some people say that Bergoglio is a tyrant. Others say that he's an imposter. And still others say that he is a heretic. But what everybody must agree on is that he doesn't legitimately hold the office.
And that he hates the church.
He does.
And the faithful.
Well, okay. So that begs the question. I mean, look, if you... I understand that these church issues, Alberto, are to be solved by better men than we. I understand that smarter, more learned, more well-trained theologians will be grappling with this for a long time. However, if you explain this to a third grader and you say, hey, Mr. Third Grader, true or false, you have to be Catholic to be Pope. What's he going to say?
Of course.
If a third grader says, yes, you have to be Catholic to be Pope, and then you say, well, is Bergoglio Catholic? And most people say no, then why is what Archbishop Vigano is saying so controversial?
What the organizer of the conference said is, and I'm not even saying this in jest, is that this statement goes against the unity, which was the theme of the conference.
The theme of the conference was unity. Now, let's go. I'm not going to play it for you because I really have nothing against Michael Madd. I have a lot of respect for him and his family, his pedigree. He's second or third generation traditionalist fighting for tradition. He runs the Remnant newspaper. He runs this conference. Nothing but respect for the man. However, pause for dramatic effect. His explanation for not running the speech, to me, is the definition of grifting anxiety. It is a level of anxiety that only a grifter could feel. He says there are 17 other people who are coming to my conference, and those 17 other people are putting their lives and their livelihoods on the line, and if they are seen side by side with Vigano, who says that Jorge Bergoglio is not the Pope, if they stand shoulder to shoulder with him, if they are even on the same roster with him, Alberto, they may lose their pensions or worse, their health care.
Yeah, you know, it's actually very interesting because when we consider the whole situation as explained by Archbishop Vigano and by Michael Madd, in a sense, they were supposed to have an interview live via Zoom. So His Excellency could have said all of these things on Zoom and then shocked the audience and blah, blah. But he, in a sense, he did a very classy thing. He told, hey, this is what I want to say, and here you go. Before the whole conference heard it. So in a way, it was a very classy thing. And if you want to criticize the Archbishop for changing the plan last minute, well, he's an Archbishop. In a sense, the clergy should be the ones that are trying to take us out of the crisis, not lay people. But he could have said all of these things and then shocked the audience at the actual event, but he sent it in advance.
Yeah, that's a good point.
However, Bishop Strickland is so brave and he's standing up to...
Well, there's an apostolic visitation headed for Bishop Strickland because he's just too pro-life. And he's just so incredibly based. And everybody needs to support Joseph Strickland, the bogus ordo concelebrator in chief, who pronounced. I have respect for the office. I have respect for the man. I'm glad Strickland is there. I wish we had more Stricklands. Don't get me wrong. But I've been to an FSSB ordination, which Strickland presided over, and I heard. Well, in nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sanctus, amen.
Yeah, if you look at the video from that, this is just a factual. He can't.
He doesn't do Latin.
No, it's not his thing. Not a bit.
You don't have to be a Latinist. You don't have to be Ryan Grant. You don't have to be doing Smokes and Saints or whatever his show is called. You don't have to be that level, okay? I'm not saying that you have to be fluent in Latin, okay? But in nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sanctus, amen, doesn't work for me.